How can we experience true life? How can we experience true life? How can we experience the kind of life that we were created for? Because we want to know, don't we, what it is that can really satisfy. We want to know what the sort of key is that unlocks life and makes it fall into place. And even if you are someone sitting there this morning who thinks, well, that is just too much to hope for, then I imagine that if you thought you could know the answer, then you would want to. Isn't that the case? I've been reading a biography, an autobiography actually, this last week by a Chinese Christian man called Brother Young. And I wondered if any of you have heard of him. Hands up if you've heard of Brother Young. So this is in some ways, an ordinary farming lad who grew up in rural China. And our extraordinary God gripped his life. And he came to know Christ for himself. And Young became really pivotal in the house church movement in China, which, of course, has seen amazing growth. And as I was reading this book this week, there were times when tears came to my eyes. This man went through about 7 years of imprisonment in conditions that were so bad, it just makes you almost weep. Forced labor, horrific deprivation. And Brother Young says these astonishing words. He says, the person who suffers, it is not the person who is imprisoned for the sake of the gospel, but the person who truly suffers is the person who has not experienced the intimate presence of Christ. The person who truly suffers is the person who does not know the intimate and close presence of God. And that's a remarkable thing to say, isn't it? When you've been through 7 years of appalling imprisonment and torture and forced labor and a degree of physical suffering that I can't even begin to imagine. And he says, do you know, I'm not truly deprived because I knew and do know the intimate and close presence of Christ. And that has you asking, doesn't it? What is it that Brother Young had really discovered? Because it must be very, very precious. And I don't hold him up as a sort of special example. It is just the ordinary Christian experience to know and experience the close and intimate love of Christ. And this got him through the most appalling suffering. And yet he says, that is not true deprivation. True deprivation would be not to know him, would be not to know God. You see, when the visible church starts to lose its passion and its power, and would you agree with me as you look around the UK at the moment, in quite a few parts, it appears to have lost a good deal of its passion and power. It's because there is a great deception that is being believed, that God is either a despot up there making impossible demands of us, or he's remote and distant and he doesn't really care, or perhaps both of those things. There is, when the church loses its passion, this deception that it is not possible to know your Creator close up and intimately, and to share fellowship and love with him. And Brother Young would say, that is nonsense. That is absolute nonsense. That kind of intimacy and closeness with God is available to each and every person in Christ. That, Brother Yun would say, is what true life really is. That is how we experience the life that we were created for, the fellowship with God that we were created for. And it's just that life that the Apostle Paul is talking about here in these verses in Galatians. I've called this sermon, God Gives Himself. And I've got three headings, three things for us to remember that God gives. And the first is this. God gives you acceptance. God gives you acceptance. And this is chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, if you're following along. Do keep Galatians open if you have it there. That will be a real help to us. These verses sound a little bit technical, don't they? There's all this talk of justification. What is that? But in these verses, Paul answers a question that, I put it to you, burns in every human heart. And it is this question. How can things be right between me and God? How can things be right between you and God? And Paul is saying that is possible. It is possible to know continually God's open-armed welcome, to know continually his acceptance, to know his friendship, because that's what friendship is like, isn't it? It's sort of two people with their hearts open to one another. Two people with their arms open to one another. And Paul says it can be like that between you and the Lord. And that is what Brother Yun is describing. And there's a bit of a surprise, perhaps, in these verses, if you haven't come across them before or come across justification before. And that is that to be right with God, to be really at home with him, has absolutely nothing to do with your track record and your performance. Let me say that again. The source of right relationship with God has absolutely nothing to do with your spiritual performance. The law, Paul says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 21, although we didn't have it read, the law cannot give life. The law cannot make alive. At the end of verse 16, he says, by works of the law, nobody will be justified. Not one person will be able to be in the right with God, accepted by God, by their track record or their spiritual performance and works of the law. But he says at the beginning of verse 16, but by faith in who? By faith in Jesus Christ, we can know that acceptance. We can know that we are completely in the right with God. We can know his love. And it's personal. It is faith in Jesus Christ that justifies. And faith is trust, isn't it? Faith is personal relationship. It's that closeness. It's that intimacy that we were thinking about in the introduction. And when you take that in, you realize that the idea that God is somehow a despot up there who isn't really interested in our well-being is complete nonsense. This is the God, not who sits up there making impossible demands of you, but the God who gives himself to you and comes down in the person of the eternal Son, who comes down in the person of Jesus Christ and says, do you know what? I want things to be right between you and me. And so I'm going to give you everything that you need for that. In fact, I'm going to give you myself. I'm going to give you my Son. And all that you need to do, and it's almost scandalous, isn't it? It's beautifully simple. All that you need to do is to trust his goodness and to trust his kindness, his generosity. That's what grace is, isn't it? God isn't some sort of distant despot. This is the God who gives himself to you. Isn't that wonderful? You live in a fathered universe. You don't live in a somehow impersonal universe. You live in a universe created by the living God who is constantly outgoing and constantly self-giving and who delights to bless the socks off you, who delights to lavish life upon you. And the way that he does that is by giving himself to you. And so he sends, he gives the eternal Son, Jesus, and he gives him to you as the most astonishing gift. Open-armed, saying, come by faith and be right with me. Know my permanent love, know my permanent acceptance. Can I ask you, have you heard the Lord speaking that word of promise to you? Do you know the reality of that love in your own heart? That's the reality that was sustaining Brother Yun through those years in prison. That's the reality that Philippians 4 is talking about when Paul says, I've learnt to be content in any circumstances because in any circumstances I know that I'm embraced by him. So firstly then, God gives you acceptance. Isn't that what we all want, crave at the deepest level, to know ourselves accepted by God? And Paul says, it's beautifully simple. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Put all your trust there and nowhere else. Firstly, God gives you acceptance. Secondly, God gives you his Spirit. And this is chapter 3, verses 2 to 5. The Apostle John tells us, doesn't he, that God is what? God is, go on, talk to me, people. God is love. And he says that twice in 1 John chapter 4. And it's because God is love that he's continually outgoing, that his desire and his delight is to bless you and do you good and to love you into life and share that love that he is with you. And when you think about it, that's what love is, isn't it? Love is something that gives. The person who truly loves you gives themselves to you, often in sort of costly sacrifice and lays down their life for you in various ways. And that is exactly what God is like. You know, that great deception that God is distant and doesn't care, you can just put it in the bin. God is love and he continually gives himself to you. He gives you the Son, as we've already seen. He gives you Christ and he also gives you the Spirit, his Spirit. And I just want to jump down to verses 2 to 5 of chapter 3 and read those to you again. And you can see Paul is getting quite animated in these verses. He says to these Galatian Christians, I'd like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, by your track record, or by believing what you heard, by faith? Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, that is through faith, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Have you experienced so much in vain, if it really was in vain? So again I ask, does God give you, and notice that word again, give, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you by works of the law, by doing, by track record, by performance, or by you believing what you heard? You see, it is about believing the promise of what God has done in and through Jesus. Isn't that beautifully simple? It means no more striving for acceptance because God gives it to you. It means no more feeling unworthy of his love because he's loving you into life and he's pouring his love out on you. It means the end of feeling that he's up there, distant and remote, and we are somehow down here trying to work our way up to him. It means the end of what you might call the project of me. I need to be a bit careful here. At Abbey, I can walk much further, but that's not going to go well if I do that, is it? The project of me, do you know that? Where you try to kind of build up enough credit in God's sight somehow that you hope eventually you'll reach him and he'll take some notice of you. And these verses are saying, do you know that's wrong in so many ways? Because for a start, it's futile and it never works. For a second thing, God doesn't require it of you because he loves you and he gives himself to you in love. And thirdly, isn't it the opposite of faith? Isn't it anti-relational? Is that a word? It certainly is anti-relational, isn't it? God is saying, trust me, I'm good. I am love. I'm giving myself to you in the person of Jesus. I'm giving you my spirit. And when you think about it, you can't get much more sort of close up and intimate than being given the spirit of God, can you? The spirit who Paul says isn't just sort of with us, alongside us, but he's in us. The Spirit of Christ in us. And when you realize that, you can't doubt anymore. God is for you. He's accepted you. He's set you apart for himself. He's qualified you. How do you know that? Because he's even put his Spirit in you. Isn't that astonishing? The close, intimate presence of Christ himself by his Spirit. And the project of me is over and crucified and dead and in the bin. Thank goodness. And I'm living by faith, Paul says, in Christ, in the Son of God. Brothers and sisters, if you're trusting him, you need never doubt again the truth that God accepts you as his own and as his child, just as he accepts the Son, Jesus, himself. You are accepted. He gives himself to you and he gives the Spirit to you. Do you remember the headings? God gives you acceptance. I've forgotten the second one. What's the second one? God gives you his Spirit. Yeah, absolutely. How could I forget that? Thirdly, it's been a long week. Thirdly, Christ gives you himself. Christ gives you himself. And this is verses 19 and 20, if you're following along, at the end of chapter 2 there. Paul says, do you know, when you put your faith in Christ, something absolutely wonderful happens. Paul says, if you've done that, just like me, Paul, you have died to the law. And what he means by that is it has no power over you any longer. There is no condemnation. There is no fear because of your sin, because God's perfect love drives out that fear. And Paul says, I've died to that. The project of me and somehow having to work my way up to God is gone and dead and buried and crucified, and I am alive. I am alive to God, Paul says in verse 19. I'm adopted as his child forever. I can't lose it. This salvation is as certain as the love of the Father for the Son in the Trinity. What astonishing salvation. I don't know if you've ever thought of it this way, but Christianity is not as complicated as sometimes is made out. Christianity is really all about an embrace. Let me explain to you what I mean. It's rather like this. You're approaching Jesus in your mind's eye, maybe when you're praying one morning or one evening. And, you know, somewhere there lurking at the back of your head is your knowledge of your sin and all the ways that you just know you are really still not like him at all in those particular areas. And maybe it's been a hard week and you are doubting the gospel. You know, you're doubting those promises. And we all do that in our darkest moments. And as you approach Jesus in your mind's eye, wonderfully, you realize that his arms are open, that he accepts you, that he accepts you because of his love and his kindness and his grace and what he's done on the cross. And then even more wonderfully, as you were kind of turned around the other way a little bit because you were feeling pretty sheepish, but now you're walking towards him more. And wonderfully, you realize that not only are his arms open, but he's running towards you. And there's a smile on his face. And he wants to embrace you. He wants to embrace you in that love forever. And you find yourself running towards him. And that is faith, isn't it? You accept that embrace. And you might say, well, that doesn't sound very British. And the thing is, God isn't British. Christianity is about an embrace. It's the free and wonderful, loving embrace of the Creator God. And once you've opened your arms to that, he never ever lets you go. You see, it's no longer then just God up there, distant somehow and remote, and you down here. But it is the eternal life of the Father, Son, and the Spirit embracing you and making you alive and loving you into glory. And that's exactly what Paul is talking about in verse 20 here. He says, I, and you too, if you've put your faith in Jesus, have been crucified with Christ. The project of me is dead and buried, and I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. And there it is again, closeness, intimate love. How much closer can you get than the Lord himself, Jesus himself, dwelling in you? God isn't distant. He is present and here by his Spirit. And the Christian is someone who knows that indwelling of Jesus, that closeness, that unitedness, that wonderful love. It's no longer just me on my own, Paul says. It's me and Jesus. It's Jesus in me. And then he goes on to say, the life I now live in the body. You see, life is what it's all about. We asked that question at the beginning, didn't we? What is true life? Well, Paul's telling us here, the life I now live in the body, I live by faith. There it is again. It's all about that. By faith in the Son of God, in Jesus. And get this, by faith in the Son of God who loves me. This is the Lord of everything. The Son of God who loves you and gives himself to you. Gave himself to you on the cross and gives himself to you today if you're trusting him and if you'll receive him by his Spirit. It's about close relationship. It's about knowing him. It's about the wonder of his love. This is the Lord of everything, the King of the universe, who says to you and me personally, I love you. I give myself to you. I want to dwell with you. That is astonishing, isn't it? Isn't that wonderful? Speak to me. Isn't that wonderful? That is the very best thing. The one who made you, the one who created you, the one who holds everything in his hands, the one who has power beyond imagining, the one who flung stars into space, loves you personally and gave himself on the cross for you and says, if you trust me, I'll take up residence so close in your heart, in your life, by my spirit, and that will be for keeps. Can I ask you, do you know him? Do you love him? Is he the most important thing to you? Actually, the most important person to you in the entire universe? He's the living God, and he gives himself to you. Doesn't that turn worldly religion on its head? You know, you don't have to work your way up to God. You don't have to justify yourself. God comes down to you in the person of Jesus and says, I am giving myself to you. I am sharing myself with you. I am sharing my eternal life. I am sharing my love with you. That is astonishing. That is what Brother Yun, is talking about in that book. This is the living God who comes and stands in your shoes on the cross and gives everything that is needed so that you can have true life. This is the living God, the risen Christ, who is present here this morning by his Spirit and who says to you, receive all that I've done. Perhaps for the first time, because it's never clicked before that what it is actually about is relationship with him and trusting what he has done rather than somehow trying to work your way up to him. Receive all that I've done, he says this morning. Receive all that I have to give you here and now. Perhaps because you began by faith like the Galatians, but have started to turn to some other way of going about it. And Christ says, come back to me. Put your faith in me afresh. Receive everything that I have to give you in the here and now, in the circumstances that you're going through, however difficult they may be. And he says this morning, receive filling by my Spirit through faith, especially if you're longing for more of that closeness and more of that intimacy with me and to know more of my love. Friends, let's not be moved from the true gospel of Christ, which is that God gives you himself in love. And do you know why? So that you can enjoy him. So that you can enjoy him and delight in him forever.